before the sun had fully risen, before the world had gathered itself again, they went to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They went not with certainty, not with clarity, but with grief and with love. With the quiet, stubborn instinct that love has to stay close even when hope feels gone. And that is where Easter begins. Not in triumph, not in clarity, but in that fragile place where love refuses to let go. There's an earthquake. The ground itself refuses to remain still. An angel descends, the stone is rolled away, and the guards, those symbols of empire, of control, of finality, collapse in fear. But the women hear something different. Do not be afraid. Not because everything suddenly makes sense, and not because the world is now safe and predictable, but because God has acted, because death does not get the last word. Peter, speaking through the Acts of the Apostles, is still trying to make sense of it all. And what he comes to understand is this, that truly understand that God shows no partiality. That may be one of the most radical Easter proclamations that we have in the Gospels. Because resurrection is not just about Jesus. It's about the unraveling of all the systems that told us who mattered and who did not. No partiality. Not to nation, not to status, not to power, not to those who have always assumed that God must be on their side. Easter breaks that wide open. The risen Christ does not belong to one people, one story, one kind of life. The risen Christ belongs to all. And more than that, the risen Christ claims all. And so the psalm dares to say that on Good Friday would have sounded impossible, I shall not die but live. Not because suffering is denied, not because death is unreal, but because death is no longer ultimate. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. What was discarded, what was cast aside, what was deemed unworthy, that is precisely where God builds something new. That is Easter. And yet it does not arrive neatly. The women leave the tomb, Matthew tells us, with fear and great joy. Both. Not one replacing the other, not one canceling the other, but both holding together in the same trembling human hearts. And if we are honest, that's where many of us live. We know grief. We know uncertainty. We know the weight of a world still marked by violence, still marked by injustice, still marked by systems that privilege some and crush others. Easter does not pretend that those things are gone. Instead, Easter dares to say, even here and even now, and in spite of all of that, God is at work. Even here, in spite of all of that, life is breaking through. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, says, if you have been raised with Christ, he doesn't say, if you will be. He doesn't say, someday far off. If you have been raised with Christ, Easter is not only something that happens to Jesus. It's something that is happening to us. your life, Paul says, is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden, like a seed in the ground, like something not yet fully visible, but already alive, already real. And so the question becomes, what does it mean to live as people of the resurrection? What does it mean to step out of the tomb when so much of the world still feels like Good Friday? It means first that we refuse the lie of partiality. We refuse the lie that some lives matter more than others. We refuse the lie that God's love is rationed out along the lines of race or wealth or power or belonging, because Peter has seen it now that God shows no partiality. And if that is true, then resurrection life must look like justice. It must look like dignity. It must look like the hard, holy work of dismantling the systems that deny the image of God in any human being. It also means that we become witnesses. Peter says that again, we are witnesses. Not because they understood everything, not because they were fearless, not because they had encountered something that they could not deny, but they had eaten with him, they had walked with him, seen him alive. And the women, the first witnesses, are sent with the message, go and tell. Not after you figured it out, not after your fear has disappeared, but right now, with fear and great joy. And here is the quiet, astonishing truth. As they go, as they move, as they step into that uncertain obedience, Jesus meets them. Not at the tomb, not in the safety of what is known, but on the road. Greetings, he says, and they take hold of him and worship. And again, he says it, do not be afraid. Easter does not erase fear, but it refuses to let fear have authority. Christ is alive because love has broken through, because what was rejected has become the cornerstone of something entirely new. So today, we stand with those two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, whoever that Mary was, holding both fear and joy, not yet fully understanding, but already being sent. And we hear the same invitation, come and see, go and tell, do not be afraid. And perhaps, just perhaps, we might begin to notice that the places we thought were endings are becoming beginnings, that the stones that we thought were permanent are being rolled away, that the life we thought was buried is stirring again. This is the day the Lord has made, the psalm says. Let us rejoice in it. Not because everything is resolved, not because anything is acted, but because God has acted. Because God has acted. Not because the world is finished, but because resurrection has begun. Christ is risen, not only then, but now. Not only for him, but for us. Not only in glory, but in the fragile, courageous, justice-seeking, love-bearing lives that we are called to live. So, go with fear and great joy, with questions still in your heart, with hope still unfolding. Just go, because we know that he is ahead of us. On the road, we will see him. On the road, we will see him in one another, in the breaking of the bread, in the work of love that refuses to let death win. Christ is risen, and that changes everything.